You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to Critical Mass. This is your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively on www.octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better business decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. When you land on their homepage, select the Orange County area of the local journals, and you'll see the information specifically crafted for us here in Orange County. Critical Mass, the radio show, is an extension of our 16-year consulting practice. We build CEO peer groups for business executives and owners. We do this in partnership with Renaissance Executive Forums. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. My business partner, Doug Gefeller, and I currently chair multiple CEO peer groups. Doug is a master certified coach, which is a distinction achieved by less than 900 certified coaches in the entire world. Doug is our lead partner in charge of our coaching practice. Doug also hosts a call-in talk show right here on octalkradio.net called The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to tune in on Thursdays in this time slot from 4 to 5 p.m. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, is the first book ever written about the peer group experience and is available for sale on Amazon.com. If you'd like to find the book, simply type in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, and the book will come up. I just filled an order from Amazon yesterday, as a matter of fact, so thank you if you're one of the people out there buying off of Amazon. If you'd like to learn more about CEO peer groups or our executive coaching practice, then I would suggest that you visit our website, Critical Mass, M-A-S-S, Critical Mass for, F-O-R, business.com. Say, if you'd like to join in the conversation with our two guests today, the best way to do that is to visit octalkradio.net's homepage, go to their community chat room, log in, and post your comments there. My producer, Paul, or I will be watching it periodically throughout the show today, and possibly we'll bring your thoughts into the show. Well, I'd like to turn our attention to our first of two guests today. It gives me great pleasure to introduce and welcome Robert Traxel of B2B Events Incorporated to Critical Mass, the radio show. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it a lot.
Well, I've been excited to have you on the show. With your experience and rich history in the event planning arena, as well as your interesting background, I'm really excited to have you share that with our audience. So please, if you would, could we start the conversation today, Robert, with you talking about your past experience that kind of led up to you founding B2B Events Incorporated?
Well, I think the most important thing was the foundation for my career was it started in northern Wisconsin when I was 9 years old. My parents inspired me to go out and peddle papers, and that was as early as 4 o'clock in the morning, and whatever the weather was, that's what it was going to be. And over a period of during my high school, I had to work my way through college, so I had to prepare for that in high school, and that was all concerned with work ethic. And it taught me an important thing, and that is life and work are what you make of it, and you can make anything fun. It's how you approach business and how you approach your life and how you approach work.
So how did you get from a paper route in cold, especially this time of year, Wisconsin, to B2B Events Incorporated? What was your professional experience that led you to the firm that you lead and run today?
It's a very long trail, but it all started at the University of Wisconsin, ran out of money. So I got a job working at a restaurant and started as a dishwasher. Before long, I knew I was a bartender. And left the University of Wisconsin because I got so fed up with well, a number of things back there. I'm the only brother out of a family of four brothers who didn't graduate from college. But I came out to California where the sun was shining and you could see some blue sky every once in a while. When I got here, I didn't have any money, so I started working attending bar, and before long I knew people were asking me, well, you know, you're a lot of fun behind a bar. Could you do private parties for us? Well, one thing led to another, and before long I knew I had more work than I could handle, so I started hiring bartenders, and they didn't approach business the same way as I did, so I started a bartending school. Well, that ended up being my having as many as 80 bartenders working for me at one time, which was really quite exciting. Well, then people started saying, well, Bob, you do such a great job there. Would you help us put together events and do event production for us? So I started going around and developing events. The one thing that I ran into is a client said, you know, everything you do is so great, but the quality of your rentals is really questionable. And so I would go to the rental companies and say, hey, I need clean, quality rental equipment. And one thing led to another. They said, you know, if you think you can do better, why don't you set up your own company? Well, that was a challenge that I had to really consider, but considered it and rose to the challenge and set up a party rental company in addition to the bartending job. Well, that led to people asking for more and more and more. And so listening to clients and what they wanted and what they needed was what has been the real catalyst for success of the company. I've been in the industry now 50 years, going into my 51st year on January 1st, and I think a lot has to do with just listening to what clients want and giving them what they want and being willing to go the extra mile.
So you sort of touched on a bit of what B2B Events Incorporated does, but Bob, can you share with us what is it that the firm is doing today for its clients?
Well, we do total event production. So a client comes to us, and whether it be a wedding, an anniversary, a major corporate event, you name it, we sit down and say, what is your dream? And how can we help make it a reality? And we have 12 different departments in our company. We have everything from party rentals to event props. We have event-themed props for over 54 different themes. And it just goes on and on from there. When people come to us, one-stop shop. We solve all their problems, and we do the coordination on-site so that all the client has to do is say, this is what I want. We arrive, set everything up for them, and say, okay, is this done to your satisfaction? And then we're there during the event. If there's any problem whatsoever, we're there to take care of it. And then we're there to make sure the cleanup is complete.
Yeah, you were gracious enough to provide a tour for me of your facility, and I marveled at the range and depth of props and the investment you must have made in the products that you have in your, both inside your building, but then also the live plants, et cetera, that you have on the outside as well. It's truly impressive.
Isn't it fun? You know, I go out there and I say, every once in a while I say, thank you, Lord. This is just incredible. It's 550,000 cubic feet of stuff to help people celebrate their successes in life. It's awesome.
Like you said, themes. I mean, you have Stagecoach, which I mean, you have there. I wouldn't do justice to try to remember it all, but it's amazing. It would be hard for me to imagine that somebody couldn't sit down with you and go, this is the theme for our event. Can you help us? That you wouldn't go, yeah, we have things that we can create that environment for you, certainly.
Oh, yeah. And if we don't have it, we'll create it for them. That's the neat part. We have such incredible craftsmen who are just ready to build almost anything that they can conceive of. That's where we do a lot with signage. We are constantly building signs that are just incredible for clients, you know, what are some of their wildest sayings and names of their companies, their corporate logos, you name it. It helps to really set the pace for an event.
So 50 years in the event planning business and, you know, successful kind of entrepreneur business around that. Is there a guiding principle that you use to lead and kind of guide your firm today?
Well, I begin by prayer almost everything. I think that's the most important thing, to look to the Lord and ask His counsel on a daily basis and for Him to walk with me and walk with my company. I think being very, very patient with your people and allowing them to make mistakes. You can't do anything in life unless you make mistakes. You accept your mistakes and learn from your successes. And I think that's been one of the keys to our success, is inspiring people to go the extra mile, to just say, you know, we're going to be there to back you. Give it a try. Ask questions. We're here with the answers. We've got all kinds of years of experience. And the neat thing is, we've got some people have been, well, quite a number of my staff are here over 10, 15, 20 years. And they can handle almost anything and everything that you can even conceive of. And it's fun because we have clients now who say, well, you do such a great job here in Orange County. Can you help us up in, say, Sacramento or over in Las Vegas? And now we're going over to Nashville, Atlanta, Chicago, over to Florida, Miami, and so on. And clients say, well, you know, they just don't do what you guys do. So we're getting national, and we're looking to eventually go international and really do a great job both across the board for our clients, no matter where they need in the world.
That's a great compliment when they're so pleased with your service in one market that they want you to follow them into another market. I think there's no higher compliment.
And it's all about your people, you know? If you've got people who are caring, know how to smile and say yes and thank you and be genuine, it's so important. And it's amazing the number of people that we have. And sometimes they'll have to leave. They think that the grass is greener on the other side. And, you know, in 2 or 3 months, they're back. And say, you know, it wasn't greener. Can I please come back? And we love them.
Great. I'd like to shift the focus of the interview a little bit to, if I could ask you to share with our audience a recent past direct experience that you had being involved in either a formal peer group, mastermind, where involvement in that group helped you with the kind of decisions that you were making at that time while you were leading B2B Events Incorporated.
Good. Okay, it's really BTB Events. It stands for Best of the Best. And that's what we try to live with on a moment-by-moment basis. A number of our clients, major corporate clients, gave us that name, and we have to earn it on a daily basis. But back to your question, I was involved in a peer group for several years, and I kind of left the group after a period because one of the things that I found was a peer group is only as good as the commitment of the people who are in the group, along with the leader who really leads and keeps the group directed and focused. And that's so important. And some of the best things I learned in the business world were at that peer group. But then sometime after a while, it got to be a good old boys group, and it wasn't focused. And that's one of the things I think is one of the most important ingredients in the success of any organization is its focus.
I agree. And thank you for correcting me. In my head, I was hearing me say BTB events, but obviously my mouth was betraying me on that one. So, and I love the best of the best is quite, again, another ringing endorsement of the level of service and the way your firm differentiates in your space?
Well, it's the pride that my men take in doing the setups. And at the end of an event, when our clients can say, you know, you guys really do earn that name, best of the best. So that's just the kind of the icing on the cake.
I can't imagine there's more than one best of the best in a certain area. I mean, you know, that is at the top of the pyramid of providers of that service. So, and for your clients to suggest that that's the appropriate name for your firm, that's powerful.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Could you share with our audience a current challenge that's facing the firm right now and sort of the steps and actions that you and the leadership team are taking to mitigate that challenge in the business?
The challenge to me is creativity, creating unique ideas and concepts. Yes, we have 54 different themes, but how can we capitalize on that and continually challenge not only our sales team, but our production people that back our entire sales team to come up with new ideas and new concepts? I'll give you an example. About 7 years ago, my son Jose and I went to a number of events, and we were saying, why do people get up and leave? We found out that at all too many events, people get bored. Well, why do they get bored? Well, perhaps they get too comfortable. So we started off with an idea, and that is to develop something that was light, comfortable, but not too comfortable. So we developed a product called Funiture. And over the years, our Funiture is now developed into 6 pieces that are made out of styrofoam, foam rubber, and covered with just about any fabric, any color, any texture that people can imagine. And in other words, if you have an event that's all red, your Funiture will be all red, along with your draping, your ceiling swagging, whatever. Or you can do accent pieces and so on. The fun thing is you can have it any color, any shape, any size. And to me, that's really, really neat. And the fun thing about this is it keeps on growing and growing and growing. Our inventory keeps on getting larger and larger and larger. But it's not only that. There are so many things that are not invented and not created yet. And so that's where we challenge ourselves on a daily basis to look for. But the keys to what those new ideas are going to be, the new needs, are found by listening to clients and asking questions. How could we do this better? What can we do to help you? How can we better serve you? And so that's what I consider to be the single most important ingredient in the future of success of this company.
And you have credibility with your 50 years of experience in this industry, and I didn't start out counting how many times you said listen to your clients or by listening to your clients or in conversations with your – but that is very prevalent in your business philosophy. And I think I'm always looking for here on the Critical Mass, the radio show, opportunities to pass along experience and knowledge. And for me, that is a learning moment that hopefully the audience will pick up on, which is how valuable it is if you just – you know, pay attention to what your clients are telling you and how that may lead to other business opportunities or at least, you know, new product offerings, et cetera.
Let's see, that's an important thing here, too, because I have clients that go back 37 years. And to me, that is one of the greatest compliments is the fact that you have people who count on you for everything. We have governmental organizations that, I can't, in some cases, I think it's almost going on 40 years now that we've been of service to these organizations. And what a thrill that is, that they aren't going to go to any place else because they know by coming to us, they're going to get the best products and services at the best possible pricing, and we're going to make it happen for them.
Wow, that's huge. Could you share with us... In addition to listening to your clients and the things you've already talked about, Robert, could you share with us other ways You know, I've been doing work and research on companies that are differentiating them, their firms, mid-market firms in Orange County, on kind of four different areas of differentiation. You and I briefly talked about that when we were kind of together the last time. I don't know how that relates to kind of how you view what you've been able to do with your firm, but are there any parallels between what you've been doing with your firm and what I showed you relative to those four key strategies that you would like to talk about with our audience here on the show today?
Well, I think that your book, Critical Mass, was really, it's one of the definitive works I've seen when it comes to communication and growing people. I mean, the single most important thing that my son and I can do on an ongoing basis in our company is growing our people. But there's only so much knowledge we have that we can share. Whereas with your peer groups and so on, we can multiply our knowledge by nine other, you know, peer group members. And when we can go to them after a meeting and so on and say, you know, I need some more knowledge and so on, and or they'll come to us and say, how can you give me some insights? So the peer groups are just an awesome, awesome resource, and one that I don't think there's anything that's comparable in the marketplace.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a unique place for business leaders to go to do all the things that you so eloquently said, so I won't attempt to restate it because you said it far better than I could. I'd like to ask you, Robert, in the things that you could you share an experience, a past experience where you learned a valuable lesson, but it came through a difficult or painful, you know, time that, but out of that came the good, which was this valuable lesson that you carry forward today?
The most painful experience is when we have new people who come in. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed with business. Thank you, Lord. And we have to hire part-time people and so on. And when you have sometimes 80, 100, 120, 150 people working, and, you know, say 20 or 30 or 40 of them have never worked for you before, taking the time, correction, investing the time to train them as to what to expect and how to best serve the clients and so on is so important. But, you know, there are times, again, that you're going to make mistakes, but I think that's the single most painful part of being in business is the part-timers when you just don't have the time to train them and impress on them the passion that's so important to doing a job and doing it right.
I don't think you get to be best of the best without a strong culture around that. And what I hear you saying is sometimes new or part-time people or temporary people don't fully appreciate how powerful and strong the culture is, and you've got to spend time to make sure they understand the priorities of your firm. Excellent. Could you share with us a final thought on sort of, you know, where do you see opportunity for growth for your firm, and what happens to the firm if you're able to leverage it successfully?
Well, I see unlimited growth potential in special events. Special events industry is related to one thing, and that's creating and building relationships. You learn and grow. One of the reasons that you have conventions and all kinds of meetings is to build your knowledge. And special events have a special, or create that opportunity. And one of the fun things I've found, and I hope I'm not going to take too much of your time here, but all too frequently a woman will say, I'm going to have a party. What is this? What am I going to serve? What kind of food? Well, okay. 86% of your memory is related to the visual. 8% is related to hearing. The additional 6% is all related to taste, touch, and smell. Now, if you're going to have an event, the most important thing is you can create the visual, the environment, the ambiance, the atmosphere, so people really can feel comfortable, can really enjoy themselves. If food tastes good and if it's presented properly, people are going to love it. But they're not going to remember the food. They're going to remember that visual impression, the wow. That's what we try to create and are dedicated to creating on an ongoing basis.
Wow, that's... I love the fact that 50 years into the industry and the business, you still see unlimited upside growth potential for your firm and for the industry that you're in. You are truly... unique individual, and I was excited to have you on the show. If someone would like to learn more about what you do at your firm, how would they find you online?
Our website is btbevents.com, and it's a really fun website. We're constantly updating it with photos of the latest events and so on. There's a big red tent out on the front page, which is just absolutely awesome. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world. And it just goes on from there. People are welcome to explore. And then give us a call, 714-415-3333. And our salespeople are more than happy to help in any way we possibly can. Help you celebrate success.
Well, Robert Traxel of Best of the Best Events Incorporated, thanks for the time that you spent with us here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and the time you put into kind of preparing your thoughts for the show. You know, I appreciate you being a friend of the show, and welcome to the Critical Mass for Business community.
Well, thank you for the privilege and honor. God bless you. Continued success to you.
Thank you. I appreciate thank your time. Thank you.
Sure. Goodbye now.
Robert Traxel. Goodbye. Of BTB Events Incorporated. And we're going to be back with our second guest on the show today, Bill Bornham of Power Direct. But first, we're going to take a break.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. If you would like to join the conversation during the show, feel free to go on to the octalkradio.net website, community chat, log in, post a comment. We'll try to bring your thoughts onto the show. I'd like to turn our attention to our second guest. I mentioned him beforehand, but Bill, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's get right into the interview and say, why don't you tell our audience about your professional background that predates Power Direct?
Okay, I was early in my career out of school in the Midwest. I'm originally from Cincinnati. I worked in television, network, commercial, time sales. So I've been in the sales side early in my career and worked for NBC and ABC affiliates, basically selling time. From that, in the advertising world, I went from the broad mass media to the direct data-based media and jumped into direct mail, the world of direct mail marketing, and went to work for a company in the West Coast and to sales and sales management. And then a key account had been lost with the company that I was with, and I went back after that account as a salesperson and started a company basically out of my living room with a very large account and kind of started with that. Later formalized and went into a business incubator with the Tech Coast Angels, and a funding group in Orange County, and started Power Direct.
So you're from Cincinnati. That I did not know. I have to ask you, are you a Bearcat?
I am. Absolutely.
What year did you graduate?
88. Way back.
Okay. You don't have to say that on the air. I don't want to make you date yourself, but I have a very good friend who is a graduate of who's a Bearcat, and they're very loyal, the Bearcats.
Yes, yes.
One of the stronger, in my opinion, one of the stronger alumni across the country. Maybe they fly under you fly under the radar screen a little bit, but when you find one, boy, there's a bonding there with the Bearcats.
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely.
Well, I went to the University of Pittsburgh, so you know we're a little bit of a rival with Cincinnati. So got to watch ourselves here a bit, Bill.
We won't talk about the B word. That's the Bengals. So we'll move on to another discussion.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the firm. You kind of gave us the sense for how you got it started and the funding, etc. But what is it today that Power Direct Marketing does for its clients?
Well, we are a marketing services company, and our core competency has been a targeted door hanger product. And we have tried to figure out a way over the years to re-energize a media that was at one time fairly rough, if you will. You know, the pizza door hanger that you get at your front door, and we tried to take the idea and upgrade it to be more of a mainstream type of media. And it's been a battle over the years to have the agencies and the national accounts take us seriously, and it really has required an emergence of developing the analytics and becoming much more in tune to all of the modeling and the data side of the targeting of direct marketing. And we've invested a lot of time and money into that. And the system of quality control that we've developed and with our core competency, but also trying to turn a more tactical advertising media into a more strategic one. So it's been a process of trying to help develop that and build a team of people that are very savvy in marketing and who know the world of advertising and try to take it to a higher level, if you will, than what we think it looked like 10 years ago. And so we continually try to work on that with technology and adding technology and working on the marketing component.
I have two observations. One, I've had the privilege of meeting you at your office in your facility, and you certainly have the feel of a technology company. You know, certain companies have a culture and they have a feel, and I've been in enough of them that you kind of you know a manufacturing company when you walk into it. That's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just kind of the mojo that exists within the air, and your mojo for me was one of a technology company. And then the other side of that, Bill, is you said something really powerful, which is that technology allowed you to regenerate interest in a medium that maybe had lost some of its luster in the marketplace. And so I'm always amazed at and interested in examples of businesses where there could have been articles written that technology was going to bury this medium, when in fact technology maybe gave it the rebirth opportunity for the smart entrepreneur who could marry the two together.
Well, I think that's a good point, and really, in two fronts, the technology has been significant, and one would be the analytics and what we can do with targeting to the front door. You know, initially, we were interested in the door hanger because of this uncluttered place, the front door, and what the potential that we could have impact in that that place that had no competition, really. The competition was in the mailbox. So the technology of how we can predict who is going to be the best recipient for a message and or who's more likely to shop or who has a higher propensity to purchase a certain product or have a certain behavior. So all of those analytics have been used in the past with direct mail, but when it comes to the front door, it's a whole different ballgame. And then on the quality control side of making sure that things are getting delivered as they're supposed to, it's been the whole industry has developed into more of a GPS tracking, and we're actually launching video streaming where we can see where our distributors are literally going up to the door with a camera on them that's streaming video, so we can see it in real time. And so we're trying to stay ahead of the market, and the technology of both on the targeting and the back end too, the tracking and from the marketing standpoint, and then the quality control technology.
You know, I just thank you, because it is. I'm always wary when writers and the trends suggest that something is going to put an end completely to another industry or something, because I believe that entrepreneurs like you and others in other industries actually find ways to complement and marry them. And your example is a perfect example. And as you're explaining it, I'm thinking to my home, and you're right. My door is a much more a greater place to reach me than a lot of other ways that people try to reach me in a more technological age. It is clearly something that gets your attention because of the uniqueness, frankly, of not a lot of stuff is on your door, which is great.
It also comes with problems, because there's people that don't want that, and I understand that, and we're sensitive to that, and we have a system of opting out, if you will, people who don't want to be delivered, and so we develop it almost like a do not call list. We have a do not deliver list, and it's not perfect, but we're very sensitive to it, and we're conscientious, and we treat people with respect as they call us, if they call us with any kind of request for that, otherwise. So it's developing, and it seems to be effective.
Can I ask you to share with our audience, we're a big fan here on Critical Mass, the radio show, of the power of the CEO peer group, the mastermind group, if you will. Could you share with us from your experience sort of how peer groups have affected you in the past, or your perception of how peer groups could affect you moving forward in time?
Well, you know, I guess there's different degrees of how you would define peer group, but just as a business in the day-to-day, I am, I think, able to effectively know my strengths and weaknesses, and I'm willing to open that up and get help, and I'm willing to not be right. I'm willing to be wrong, and I'm willing to listen to others, and I know that I need help, one thing that I've done well, I think, is I've brought in a lot of smart, good people around me, a lot smarter than I am, and with a lot more experience. I probably have the least amount of management, formal, large company experience than a lot of the senior staff here, a lot of very savvy folks that have worked with, you know, Procter & Gamble, Frito-Lay, IBM, Velasys, and on and on and on. And so to have them here, I have a sort of daily peer group, and some of your critical mass growth strategies and some of your what you call your executive growth categories where you break down, we try to apply that and open it up and get feedback and run ideas by others, and we're willing to have to fail and empower others and get out of the way. And but I think on the day to day, to answer your question, it's a day to day peer group. And having the humility to open yourself up to that is not difficult at times, but it's definitely helped us grow. And I think that's probably the most prominent that I can think of way that I would implement that kind of help.
You know, you said something that I think it comes just like something to say, but I think psychologically, and it can be huge, which is a leader that is willing to be wrong. Many times in companies, the founder or the current CEO or owner feels compelled to try to have the answers, especially when we've gone through the past 2 years of such uncertain economy. There's been a lot of pressure on the leaders to show a strong face and to, you know, lead by having a sense of, I understand what we're going to do, and we're going to, you know, we're going to take that hill, and here's how we're going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. When maybe what people really need is that genuine willingness on the leader's part to be open to not always having to have the best and final answer, but rather that the strength of the staff. And one of the things that we've learned in our research is the mid-market companies that tend to outcompete their competitors or outperform the marketplace are the ones that have distributed decision-making well instituted in their firm regardless of its size. And that's a sense of what I get from your organization, is there's a real distribution of decision-making throughout your organization.
Absolutely, and empowering them to do it and to let them do it and to get out of the way and let people do what they do and bring them into key strategy so everyone knows what's going on. And I think that's been key in trying to do the right thing and being honest with folks. And that people know that. I mean, they feel it, they know it, and it pervades. And I think it's been really, really key to our growth is that kind of openness that we've had.
So let's look at the kind of current environment. Could you share, Bill, with our audience a current challenge that the business is facing and sort of the steps that you and the management team are taking to minimize the effect of that challenge or to redirect and move away from that challenge into opportunities in the marketplace?
Well, I think as we've been successful, there's been a lot of competition has popped up, and it's mostly more, it's been fragmented into a lot of smaller companies and that are more tactical, more executional, and they're delivering door hangers. And we're trying to be, and maybe we're flattering ourselves, but we're trying to be more of a marketing communications and strategy focused. And so we're battling a paradigm or a perception that we're not going to be something or a tool that could be used in core or mainstream for a national account. And so we're trying to continually work on how we brand and position ourselves so that we are clearly showing that we're providing solutions and that we're not just executing for somebody's production program. And so to stay ahead of that and to have it's almost an organism that's building and growing and changing. I mean, we've had to stay ahead of the market, but then try to open it up to some of these other initiatives. And we've recently changed our whole positioning to the science of front door marketing, and we're rolling out a new website right now, and we've had a lot of consultants in here and to try to see how they can position us more for these larger companies. And we've been successful with it, but it's a constant challenge. And with a lot of these little, smaller companies that are out there that aren't as organized maybe, that's been a struggle. And it's been over the years we've become more, we've been put into ad budgets with larger companies, where in the past it was more of a tactical approach on a month-by-month basis. There'd be something, a grand opening or something. And now they're putting us in annual budgets, and we're getting underneath the tactical and into the strategic more, and we're helping programs, companies with some of the ideas behind how they're using us, not just executing a program for them. So that's a big challenge, and that's what we've continually been working to try to to do it, get higher in an organization where we're working with higher level marketing folks in a company.
And the tagline is the science of?
The science of front door marketing.
You know, just kind of getting to know your firm and then getting to know it today here on the show, that is, I'm always impressed with short, succinct brand promises like that that resonate with your internal capabilities. And when we talked earlier about how technology and your ability to track and the things that you talked about, that very much fits within that positioning in the marketplace. I'm excited. You got your money's worth, from my perspective, on the work that you put into coming up with that.
Well, you know, and we know we're not doing anything terribly. I mean, we're not curing diseases, and we're talking about door hangers. So we're not taking ourselves too seriously. But we do know that if we're going to do it, we want to do it and do it very well. And, you know, the science is defined really as the front-end targeting and the analytics and then, as we discussed, the marketing expertise and then the back-end verification and the use of technology with, you know, the GPS phones and the Walker-level GPS tracking and the video streaming technology that we're putting together. So that's what we're trying to do, and we're having fun. We've got dogs running around the office and a pretty good group here, and we're trying to do some fun stuff.
Yeah, I see a lab with people with clipboards and white lab jackets, and it conjures up all kinds of images for me about that. So I am convinced, Bill, that, and we had this conversation in one of our peer groups that was held this morning, that if you're in a commodity business, that's because you've allowed your firm to be commoditized, because you have given up trying to differentiate on some set of value points that the marketplace would be willing to pay you for. I am convinced that no business is a commodity business unless the leader allows it to become a commodity. And your brand positioning is another indication of what a thoughtful company can do to create your space in the market. Now, you had to do that because you had imitators and people who saw your success and wanted to kind of take advantage of the work that you've done and kind of blazing the trail. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, you have that now, and that probably is helping you a lot within your firm relative to the kind of decisions at a strategy level that you have to make to move forward relative to how you're positioned in the market.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about a painful business lesson that you've learned in your successful business career. Can you relate one for us, please?
Probably underfunding is one, and we've bootstrapped this from day one, and you know, we're not a big company. We're maybe 50 people, and I think initially not having the formal experience of running a company and not having the funding to do it, I think that created some quick humbling, and I think what we've learned is to be a little bit more careful in how we make decisions, and it's a tight balance because we are also not one to be defensive or conservative. We've learned that going on the offense and continually investing in ourselves is really important. So keeping the balance between going for it, but then to a point, and watching it. And I think what I've done there is I brought in, again, some very smart people to kind of watch me and make sure I don't go over the top in the form of a CFO who, Arthur Anderson, the big accounting experience is very sophisticated and able to see what we're doing and keeping a more tight rein on things. But continuing to invest in our folks is and risk you know, there's a balance to risk, and I've always been one to risk and just throw it back on the table over and over and over again. And we've been blessed, and we've been very lucky. But I think in the early days, a lot of sleepless nights around being underfunded is probably one of the more painful lessons. And how we can stay ahead of it, or overspending and then being in a hole for a little bit. So we are able to now, in a much more healthy financial situation, and we can give ourselves more backup so we know we're okay no matter what. And if there's a down market, and we had a couple years ago, we had a 1 year of our 10, we lost money 1 year, and not a lot, but enough to kind of scare us a little bit and make sure that we keep back up financially, really.
So let's look to the future then, and talk to us about, kind of final question, what's the current opportunity for growth, and if you're able to successfully leverage it, Bill, what's it mean to the business?
Well, we're really excited. There's so much going on here that I would bore the heck out of everybody and would have way too much to talk about in a short period. But probably the one thing that right now has us very, very excited, because we finally got real traction, is with the newspaper decline readership across the country, that's opened up very high, a huge opportunity. And we've had clients, major national accounts, and we work with Target and Sears and Kohl's and Verizon, and several of them have had concerns over their normal circulars that they put out in the newspapers every week. And the with the decline of the newspaper, they don't have the same opportunity to get those newspaper circulars out. And a lot of the folks are going to digital anyway, but a lot of them still want to have this regular circulars in the market. And so our alternative delivery, that, you know, the system that we've developed for our door hangers, is optimal in that we've created something called Power Shopper, which is a bag, basically, that we deliver, or we will be delivering, to the front doors. And in the bag will be those circulars rather than the newspaper in markets that are more problematic for the big national guys. The markets that have a severe decline in the newspaper, or the newspaper group is difficult to work with, too expensive, whatever the reason, we're being asked to go into markets with a consistent weekly cooperative door hanger product. And so we've had several companies commit themselves to this program, and we're launching this, and right now the date anticipated is in May, and we have roughly six markets within the first year we plan to launch, and then from there we don't know. But and it could be an obscure market. It could be Albuquerque or Des Moines, Topeka. I'm not saying literally those, but just more obscure markets across the country that may have an unusual situation in that area where they don't have choices, they being the advertisers. So this bag that we're calling Power Shopper, that we're going to target, we're going to use our analytics to target in a market to the higher propensity good shoppers, if you will, is big opportunity for us, and we're looking forward to it. So that's a big part of what we're looking at. And then our whole repositioning to the science, and we're getting into social media, and we've got a new blog, and we're going to tie into some integrating into other things, mobile, and we have a digital product that ties the door hanger into the internet. And so there's a lot of new media that we're trying to integrate our door hanger program. So it's not just a door hanger. It's an integration of different things coming together and creating partnerships. Instead of going to a Safeway, hypothetically, we would go to a Safeway and have the red box, you know, the little movie boxes in the grocery stores. And this is a hypothetical, but we would tie a promotion with the movie group, the red box, with Safeway, with maybe Orville Redenbacher and have a cross promotion between the three. So that's kind of a direction we're going with shopper marketing and promotional marketing. And we're pretty pumped up. So
yeah, I can hear that. I love it when you and Robert, our first guest today, successful business entrepreneurs, business owners always have more to do, more opportunities, more things to go off and conquer. It's inspiring, which is why I like to ask that question. So if someone would like to learn more about Power Direct Marketing and you, Bill, online, how do you suggest they do that?
Well, our website is powerdirect.net, and we also have an energy division, and that's powerdirectenergy.net, and that's really the best way to look us up. And,
I'm sorry.
Well, it was just that we will be launching a new website here in the next month, I believe. So we can look for that new website going up.
There you go. And maybe by the time somebody listens to this as a podcast, it'll be the current website. You never really know.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to thank you for the time. And welcome to the Critical Mass for Business community and being a friend of the radio show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Have a good day.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We had two, and from my perspective, inspiring guests to listen to. Both are successful 10 years, 50 years running businesses, seeing next challenges, next opportunities. And so hopefully you were inspired as well. I'd like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business, check out their website, www.sbnonline.com. If you'd like to learn more about Critical Mass for Business, then visit our site, which is www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. And this is Rick Franzi saying, until the next time we speak, I hope that all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass only on octalkradio.net. Stay tuned for those wacky guys live from the Derby in just a minute.